we didn't have enough good dogs of our own. So, I mean, that could make the race. We had mostly puppies. So I went around and asked people if they would lend me dogs, and there was one family that loaned me 3, and another guy loaned me 2. No, he loaned me 3 too, so I had 6 new dogs I had to break in. They were nice dogs, though. They didn't fight.
How many dogs did you have in all?
You mean how many dogs I raced with?
Yes.
8. I was supposed to race with 9, but my leader didn't make it. So I had to use the ones I had that I trained up with.
What race was this that you went into?
You mean Canada race? Mm-hmm. It was the what they call it now? The Yukon River race or something?
How did you take the dogs down to Tanana?
Oh, Sandy flew them down. Crowd them all in the plane. He tied the sled onto the wing strut of our airplane. And then he would load in about 5 dogs and put me in with the dogs. I was afraid they would just go on my legs and everything because my legs were back. And I kneel all the way and it take about an hour, 15 minutes to get to 10. Then I'd jump out and would. We had a friend there that met us with a truck. So we just put them all in the back of his truck and took them to his place. Then Sandy made another trip with the rest of the dogs.
Did you practice on the track before you went out for the race?
One time. It was snowing, blowing, and I've never driven complete river trail because we have, you know, trees and everything around here. And the dogs didn't know what to make of it. I practiced one time about 3 days before the race. And one of the guys down there helped me hook up the dogs since I didn't have a handler and took the dogs down to the racetrack for me. And everything was just flat, you know, the trail. It's right on top of the snow, and the whole river is just drifted over. And the dogs know where the trail is, but then every time they hit a big drift, they would jump off the trail, you know, because it looks so flat and hard. Then they would swim along the snow, and we really had a hard time that day, and it took me about 45 minutes, and I thought, you know, that was really slow compared to how they were running when I trained them up here. And they, you know, everything was new to them, that, you know, wide open space. But everybody thought that they did pretty good, and I thought they did pretty slow.
How long was the course, and how was it laid out? How long was the course, and how did they lay out the course? Was it all in the river?
Yeah, it was all in the river, and you go between 2 islands right in the middle of the river. And you swing around one, and it's just like a big loop. You go down one side of the river and come up on the other side, then come across in the finishing suit.
How long was the course?
10 miles.
Did you do 10 miles each day?
Yeah. 2 10 miles.
How was the drawing for you?
I had first choice from 11 numbers there. 11 racers all together, and I guess I didn't even know I signed the book first, but I paid my entry fee first, I think. So they had me top of the list, and I was happy about that. And then they had the can middle of the hall, downtown, and they said, it's time, you know, come out and pick your number. And I go walking out there and reach my hand there. I had high hopes of, you know, getting one of the top numbers, and they pulled it out and just felt like crawling back to my chair. I picked number 11. I didn't care for that too much.
So you were the last person to leave the chute.
Yeah, and it was really warm too. It was about 20 above. And the dogs here are used to running in below zero temperature. So it was really warm for them and warm for me, and the trail was mushy. It's really something else from our country here.
How would the temperature affect the dogs?
They would get they can't run at top speed when it's too warm, because then they just keep getting warmer and warmer, and they eat snow, you know, and then lose a lot of time just eating snow. Even if we did water them in the morning, they would still eat snow because it's just, you know, just too warm for them. Their coat is nice and thick, and thicker than the other dogs, I would think, because they're used to the 60, 70 below zero weather here.
Did you have what was the arrangement on your lines? Did you have a double lead, and did you have all the dogs hooked up two and two?
Yeah, I had a double lead, and then all two and two. Since I was driving eight, they all came out even.
Who were your leaders?
Little Girl and Victor. Victor's one of the dogs I borrowed. And Little Girl, we were just training her. She was just a two-week-old leader when I took her to Tanana. So she really did pretty good for that.
What's the difference between using a single lead and a double lead?
Double lead is they could keep your string out more tight. Single lead, you know, if the leader won't listen to you, they won't keep the string out tight. The leader always have to keep it out tight, or else they'll just tangle up in between. If you have stronger dogs in back of the leader, they'll get ahead and jump over your leader. My swing dogs were like that. Like I said, Little Girl wasn't really trained yet, so she would, you know, kind of shy. Every time I passed another team, she would shy back and sort of, you know, go slow, and the swing dogs just run over them, jump over their toe line.
When the day of the race came, and you had to wait till the last turn, did you have any trouble holding your dogs until your turn came?
No, I had a nephew down there that I got from my handler, and then there's another guy that didn't live too far that helped me hook up the dogs. Otherwise, I would have been late getting down there, because we started out late, and that dogs were so excited you couldn't even get them to the harness. You know, they were jumping all over the place, and I was trying to get that big red dog into the harness. I just couldn't do it. I stood on his back. I mean, I straddled him, just everything, you know, and I was trying to get his harness in here. He had me stretched out, and here the harness was here, and I was standing like that, and this guy, Beanie, came running over, and he helped. It took two of us to get him the harness. And they could have disqualified me that day for not showing up. We were supposed to show up down next to the racetrack 10 minutes before our time start. So they let me go at that because I didn't have too many handlers.
You got there on time for the race, though, didn't you?
Yeah. I had enough time to wait around. They had posts, about 10 sticks standing that you could hook your anchor on, so that's how you could hold your dogs.
When you started the race, could you see the team ahead of you that had started before you?
You still could keep them in sight. The 2 minutes or 3 minutes apart? 3 minutes apart. You still could see the team, because there's just two islands. That's the only thing you had to obstruct your view from the other teams. So I could see my dogs just gaining time on that team. The first day, the team ahead of me, she only had seven. And you could just see, you know, you just keep coming closer and closer. It was really exciting. I just hate the thought of passing any team. And I knew I was catching up to her, and I didn't trust my big wheel dog, because if he get by any dog that, you know, growl at him, he'll just chew him up. So I told her that, you know, I wanted to pass on the right, because I didn't trust my wheel dog. He would chew up her dog. So she was, I think I scared her, because she was all set to let me pass. And I yelled for trail. You have to tell the musher what side you want to go on, so they'll be prepared. I thought my dogs would both go like that, you know, the leaders, their neckline's not too short, it's about that long.
About 14 inches long?
Foot.
12 inches.
Yeah, and they could, you know, just go like that to the team in front of you. They could each try and go their own side. Except that Victor, I think he passed teams before. So he just pulled the other leader on one side.
Which side did you finally pass that first team on?
On the left. I wanted to pass on the right. So she pulled off to the left, and my dog started going left, and I was trying to hold the brake, and the trail was so soft and mushy. And then she had to pull her dogs towards the right, because I was passing on the left. But we passed pretty good. None of the dogs tangled up or anything. It was slow. And then I was just getting my breath back. It was really exciting for me to pass my first team, especially in the race. And I was just trying to get my breath back, and I saw another team. And I thought, oh no, that's all I need is to try and pass two teams in one day. And the team wasn't moving at all, so I knew something was really wrong with her. Otherwise she would be going. She was just standing aside with her dogs. And as soon as I could hear what she was saying, she said, hurry up, hurry up. Man, there's no way I could hurry up or anything. And I came towards her, and my dogs automatically slowed down because maybe they were not used to passing or something. So I was trying to get them to go, and she was yelling and I was yelling, and next thing I know, her dogs jumped over my tow line, and I go running up there. There's no way to put your anchor in. The trail was so mushy, and the only way, I think, is if you stand your sled. But then my sled is so light that even if you stand, it's buried in the snow, it will just come up.
What's your sled made
of? Oak. Sandy made that for me. It has narrow runners on it too, so that it just dig right into the snow. It's just like a plow. And so I go running up there. You know, I thought I would just go and just swing her dog off there. And I go running up there, and I was going to get hold of her dog, and it starts growling and snarling at me. And I just let go of it, and then I stood there. I was really confused then, because I never been around dogs that growl at people, and that really scared me. All her dogs were growling. I finally got hold of my tow line, then I start, you know, whipping it to try and loosen it off that other dog, and I finally whipped it loose, and I start yelling for my dogs to keep going. And like I said, my swing dogs are more aggressive than the leader. They just about ran over them before I got going real good. And since I wasn't using any anchor and everything, my sled was just going past, so I got hold of my sled. And just when I finally got my feet on the runners again, I was all shaking, all shook up from, I thought the dogs would be in a big fight, and the tangle up really shook me. And I was just trying to get my breath back again after passing. My wheel dog started screaming. She's just a little skinny thing. And I looked up there, and she had the tow line wrapped around her front paw. And man, I thought, that's really all I need. And I was just thinking, what did I want to race for? You know, I don't have all the experience that you need, you know. And that's how you get experience, I guess. It's just to get right in there, and you have to, you know, you just have to remember everything that any other musher tell you beforehand. Because before I went down, I would talk with all, you know, I'd go watch Beatus hook up his team. He was planning to race in Fairbanks. Now every day I would question him about this and that, and, you know, then you would think about that, and there's no way to put anchor down. So I had to talk real quiet to my dogs when I walk along, hang on to my sled, and then got hold of the tow line, just keep talking with them so they'll stay. And you can't get excited or anything. If you just say anything loud, they'll just take off. And I was afraid they would do that, and I was afraid they would just break her leg. She had such a tiny little leg, and she wasn't my dog, so I was really worried about it. So I got up there, and just when I was trying to loosen the tow line, the dogs took off and just left me there hanging on to the tow line. They're going full strong. There was everything I could do to slow them down enough so I could get out from where my sled could bump me. I just jump aside and then caught my sled again and then get on the runners and hit the brake. And I was hoping that would do it, you know. So I keep hitting the brake and then going and hitting the brake. And the second time I hit the brake, she pulled her arm loose. So I was just, I was just drenched with sweat, and I was really excited. And I keep thinking about all the time that I lost. And I was just taking a ride. I didn't care if I was going slow or fast. I think I give up. I just give up right away. So it's just, and then I passed the trail marshals. They say, "You had trouble?" I said, "Yeah." And I said, "The other teams behind me, the two teams behind me are really in a big tangle, so they took off the other way." Then I keep riding the sled. I only push when it gets really soft. And then there was another trail marshal. He said, "You're one of the tops this far." I said, "Really?" So I really started pushing for all I was worth. I even fell off the runners. I was so excited. I just couldn't believe that, you know, I could be one of the top teams while I lost so much time. So you just keep pushing till I get over the finish line. By then I just couldn't believe anything anymore.
What was your time for the first day? Do you remember that?
I can't remember the time. I came in second. It was really slow time. I think it was about 48 minutes or something like that. And that's really slow for a 10-mile race.
Did you have a good chance to relax and rest your dogs overnight before the next race?
I think my dogs relaxed, but there was no way I could relax. I would wake up about 6:30 in the morning, 5:30, and I would think about the dogs, you know, about watering them. Night before that, I would boil some caribou so I'd have some broth for to water them in the morning. And I keep thinking about giving that to them. And then I'd keep myself in bed till 7:30, then I couldn't stay anymore, so I'd get up and go and pet the dogs and take the chain off the one that is it hurt her leg. I didn't want to drive her if she was lame. So I got her chain and walked her around. She was really lively. She jumped around, jumped on me. So I thought she would make it that day. It didn't even bother her. I was really glad.
Do you feed your dogs anything special the morning before the race?
Just broth. I didn't know they give them sugar. To me, sugar would, you know, I would just think of stomach ache or something. But I didn't know the racers give them sugar with their broth. They would just give them plain broth. And then at night they would have caribou meat and Friskies. I had them just on that diet.
What time on the second day did you start out? Did you start just after the leader started out? Or were you pretty far behind?
You mean what position I started out? I started out second the next day. There was only one team ahead of me this time. And I could still see her when they finally count down. Sandy just finally made it to 10 or 2, so I was a little bit more relaxed because I didn't have to run around and get, you know, check my toe line. You have to check your toe line to make sure it's not ready to break, and yeah, check all your harnesses to make sure they're in good condition. And I had to wax my sled, and I always depend on Sandy for that, so he would wax the sled, and he wasn't there the first day I raced, so that was kind of upsetting because I had no one to lean on. I just had, you know, just had to depend on myself and had to try and remember everything. Like, I would get the sled in the house, then I would start waxing. I had no idea how thick to put the wax on, but I know it had to, you know, get smooth. You put the wax on, then you just rub it with your hand, and just the friction of it, I think, melted the wax in. And the guy, the place I was staying, he was pretty smart. There was some rivet holes in my runners, about half an inch deep, and I was going to fill it up, you know, just fill it up with wax. And he said, "Why don't you light a candle, you know, and just drip the wax in?" So that really helped me out. I just dripped the wax in those holes and then smoothed it down. And then
wax on the wood runners? Wax,
yeah, I didn't have any P-Tex or anything. Like, right now the sled has P-Tex underneath. So even the P-Tex Sandy waxes. Put wax on it.
What kind of wax?
Ski wax. And you have to check whether you should use ski wax for wet snow or sticky snow, or, you know, or loose snow or what. I saw Sandy do it, but I had no idea if I could do it or not. So I'd put different wax on a short piece of the runners and different wax on the other side. Then I would take the sled out and try that out. And the least snow that stick on the one wax, I would use that wax, and not the other. And then you get these couple of guys while I was working on my sled. That's about 2 hours before the race, I was getting my sled and things ready. They came over and they said, "You know, your sleigh's not any good." And here I was all excited and everything already, without having to be upset about whether my sleigh is going to work or not. They said, "Why don't you borrow somebody else's sled? You know, I know this guy that has a real good sled. Your runners are too narrow. You'll just plow into the snow, you know. You just won't make any time." And, oh, man. And I go in, I'd be real discouraged, you know. And the lady I was staying with, she said, "Just don't pay any attention to them, you know. Just go by, you know, what you know is right." I think that all goes into dog mushing. I didn't know everything. I mean, things like that do go on.
What time during the day did the race finally begin, the last race?
1 o'clock in the afternoon. Sandy just made it in time to help me wax up and everything the next day. I wasn't feeling any pain then, because I know I have another handler to hook up and bring me down.
How long is the sled that you use for racing?
I don't know. I don't even know how long mine is. You can't tell by the... About 8 feet long or 10 feet. You see it out there? That little brown sled? I don't know. I'm not good with the footage.
Can you tell me about the race on the last day now? What happened when you started out?
Since I had another handler, we got down there pretty good so that we could wait 10 minutes. And then I could watch that gal ahead of me. She was driving 10 dogs. She had big dogs too. So I was wondering if I was going to catch up to her or not. But my dogs were really, really excited. They really get excited to race. So they were all ready. And I was all nervous. And finally, the countdown, the trail was even mushier. I think it was 22 above that. They just keep getting warmer. And there's that flat light. You know, you have to wear goggles to see where the trail is. If you don't wear them, you don't even know where the trail is. You can't even see this flat gray light. And it was snowing and everything. And as soon as I start out, I think my dogs could see the other team, because they just keep going, you know, they just want to catch that team up right away. So as soon as I hit that first island, she was not too far ahead of me, about 200 yards ahead of me. So I started hitting the brake. I didn't want to catch her. There was only one place in the racetrack that was like an S, and the dogs just love to swing. They just speed up, you know. They could just see that curve in the road, and they really enjoy going around curves, so they just go full blast right around there. And I just caught right up to her. It just didn't take long. All they needed was just a few curves to go running full speed. They had to hold the brake, and she asked me if I wanted the trail. I said no. I said, wait till we get to the trail marshal, you know, in case we have trouble. I think I got kind of shy after passing two teams the first day. So we came to the trail marshal, and she just tipped her sleigh over to the side, and I just went past. The dogs didn't jump over each other's tow line or anything. It was a slow pass, but, you know, they passed real good. And then she had to give me 5 minutes. Or 4 minutes, or 4 miles, or 5 minutes before she passed me again, and I held the brake for about two miles, I think, because I didn't want to pass her. And by that time, my dogs were, you know, really huffing. It was really warm for them, and with me holding the brakes, it made them work extra hard. So I couldn't leave her behind. Every time I looked, her leader would be right there, and it was a big dog, mouth wide open, you know. And I would look at her. I didn't want to say, you know, hold back or anything, because she wasn't trying to pass me or anything. But every time I looked back, she would hit her brake. So, but then her leader would be right there. Then I asked her if she wanted the trail. She said she'll wait for the next trail marshals, and there was two young guys there. So I just got on the side of the trail. There's no way to put your anchor in. I just dig my feet in and hang on. And then she just went past. There's no trouble. And after she passed, her leader turned around. He didn't want to be ahead of us. He wanted to be behind. So he turned around. He was running towards my team, and she got her little whip out and started screaming for him to get up there. Finally, he straightened out, and I almost passed her again, because my dogs were going off the trail. They were staying off the trail, and they just wanted to pass her. But I told her they looked too tired to stay ahead. I told her I thought I'll just ride behind her. And we were just going. I had to hit my brake every once in a while. There's a stretch in the trail that was really mushy. I was trying to push, you know, to keep the sled going, trying to help the dogs out, and it was just, you would put your feet in, it would sink in about foot into the snow. And we hit that, and she had her little whip out, and she kept. I think she know how to mush her dogs or something. They start picking up speed, and there's no way I could keep on her tail. She just started running away from me, and there's just that trail that go across to the finishing suit. And once you hit that part, there's you don't have to ask for right of way or anything. You could try and pass on your own, because the the team has the right not to give you the right of way. You know, they could just hog the trail. But she left me. She was almost across the river from me. She left me that fast. It was just, I just couldn't believe it. I thought I was just going right on her tail all the way in, and I start really pushing. Because I thought she would gain that much time for the first place, since she came in first at first day. So I was really pushing behind the sled. Like I say, I still don't know how to kick the right way, I guess, because every time I kick, my feet would fall off, and I hold my sleigh so that the bow is here. So if I fall down, I just fall on the bow instead of, you know, losing my team altogether. And then I came over the finishing line, and I was really, you know, just really excited from racing for 2 days, and I couldn't even stand up. I was so nervous and excited. I couldn't even stand up. My legs felt like rubber. Just standing there, and then I started getting cold because I sweat so much going around. People were coming up and say, "I think you're first today," and I said, "I don't think so," because she really ran away with it towards the end. But then I came in first, and I had enough time over her so that I came in first for total elapsed time. I just couldn't believe it.
Did they have a ceremony after that and give you a trophy for that race?
They had banquet a week after that, I think, after the men's race. Then they had banquet then. That was kind of exciting too. Go up there and get your trophy, and you're supposed to make a speech or something if you win. I was all tongue-tied and nervous. I went up there and I was trying to thank everybody that helped me, but I don't know if they hear me or not. I was so excited to hang on that trophy for dear life. Still can't believe that I win it. It's just unreal if you do good without thinking that you could come out ahead.
Are you going to enter any more races? Are you going to enter a race this year too?
I got talked into entering the North American, Women's North American Fairbanks.
How large a team will you have for the North American?
10, hopefully. But I'm turning chicken right now with one of the dogs. He's so smart that he know he could get away with fighting when I'm driving, because I would run up there and just, there's no effect on them when I run up there and I try to pull them apart, you know. It just doesn't bother them at all. They just keep fighting. So I don't know. I might go in with 10, or if I chicken out, I'll go in with 9.
Have you been in many races here in Allakaket this winter?
I've been in 2 races. Last fall I came in first around the 4.5 mile race. And Christmas time, I think I was just overconfident or something. And I keep yelling at my team too, and that slowed them down. And I lost that race by 10 seconds. Just a couple of kicks, I think, and I would have made it.
How many dogs do you have here at your house?
My own? Mm-hmm. Let's see, we've got 4 puppies and I think 6 big dogs. We had 12 dogs, or did we? I think I've got 10 dogs now. I can't even keep track of them since I borrowed some. I borrowed 4 dogs. And I'm going to have all male team except 1 female. So having all male team is pretty rough. Just finding that out.
Can you tell me your name?
Stella Hamilton.